The start of Italy's 1938 World Cup could not have been more different from the climax of the previous tournament 4 years earlier. Scenes of strutting fascist celebrations in Rome were replaced by jeering anti-fascist demonstrations in France. In the first round, Italy squeezed past Norway in the strongly anti-fascist city of Marseille. Before kickoff, the Azzurri's trademark fascist salute was greeted with such hostility by the crowd that the team's belligerent coach, Vittorio Pozzo, told the players to repeat the gesture.
At the salute, as predicted, we were greeted by a solemn and deafening barrage of whistles and insults. We had just put down our hands when the violent demonstration started again. Straight away I said, "Team, be ready. Salute." And we raised our hands again to show we had no fear. Having won the battle of intimidation, we played.
He wasn't a fascist.
World Cup historian Brian Glanville.
They used to say that he would march at the head of his Azzurri, his blues, waving a flag and singing Il Piave, they shall not pass, you know, but he ridiculed that. It was absolutely untrue. But there's no doubt in my mind that he used the atmosphere, the whole thrust of the times, the nationalism, the fascist ideology, for his own purposes.
Che è un grande giocatore.
Forte?
Altro che, perché...
This is the voice of Piero Rava. I met him 4 years ago, just before his death at the age of 90, when he was the oldest World Cup winner in the world. Rava was Italy's left back in 1938. 2 years earlier, he'd been part of the Italy team which won the football tournament at the infamous Berlin Olympics and was personally presented with his gold medal by Adolf Hitler himself. Because of advanced Alzheimer's, Rava couldn't give me an interview, but his story lives on in his biography, written by his son-in-law, Mario Parodi. And the book has some really iconic photographs in it. This one shows Benito Mussolini wearing a general's uniform, and he's surrounded by the squad of 1938, and the players are wearing Air Force uniforms. There's the great striker Giuseppe Meazza kneeling down, and Piero Rava looking very straight-backed, standing in the rank behind him. And the photograph was taken at the Palazzo Venezia, which was Mussolini's residence in Rome. So what kind of a team did Italy have in 1938?
Italy had the formidable champions like Meazza, Ferrari, Piola, Biavati and Colaussi. The defense was excellent too, with the goalkeeper Olivieri and defenders like Foni and Rava.
And it was this team which met France in a hugely symbolic and portentous quarter-final in Paris. Because both sides played in blue, there was a toss to see which team would have to change shirts. Italy lost and were forced to wear something other than blue. They wore black. The Azzurri, or blues, had become the Maglia Neri, or black shirts. Fino Fini is director of the Football Museum in Florence.
The reason for the black shirts is very simple. The general secretary of the fascist party, Starace, he suggested to Mussolini that as a slap in the face to the French, let's have the national team play in black shirts. And Mussolini said, let's do it, let's do it. So it was decided they should wear black.
So Mussolini's black shirts marched into Paris in the name of football. And thanks to two goals by Piola, were victorious 3-1. Almost exactly 2 years later, Italy declared war on France. Italy went back to Marseille where they played Brazil in the semi-finals. Strangely, an overconfident Brazil rested the tournament's top scorer, Leonidas da Silva, and Italy won. So Italy, supported by no one in France, had again reached the final. But even though they beat Hungary 4-2 to once again be crowned world champions, Mario Parodi says the final was more noteworthy for 20 minutes during the first half, in which Italy took a 3-1 lead and finally made some friends.
In quella partita, iniziò...
The game began with strong whistles, and the people hoped we would lose to Hungary. But Italy played so aesthetically brilliantly and perfectly that in front of such a beauty, everybody took their hats off, and they forgot in those 20 minutes even our political ideas. I think that the sport destroyed political and racial barriers.
The team returned home by train, and for Piero Rava, it was a great homecoming.
He loved to talk to me about that. The return was by train from Paris. Before reaching Rome, the train stopped at Porta Susa, the train station here in Turin. The station master was Rava's father, and he stopped the train to celebrate the World Cup victory personally. The people of Turin, who knew that the train was passing through, went to greet the world champions, especially Rava and Alfredo Foni, who hailed from Turin. Then Rava's father hugged his Piero, and the train left for Rome, where Mussolini was waiting for them.
How did Mussolini reward the World Cup winning squad of 38?
Mussolini diede loro un compenso economico.
In those days, Mussolini would pay the players the equivalent of the price of a medium-sized car, say an Alfa Romeo 147. So nothing like the fees we are used to paying players today. But Mussolini was happy just with the glory brought by the game, to have accomplished this big task for Italy.
All the money spent on physical education by Mussolini had paid off handsomely. The victory in 1938 capped a golden 4 years for Italian football, in which the Azzurri won 2 World Cups and the Olympics. But here, the World Cup would have to take a break, for Europe's armies were mustering, and Piero Rava's next journey would be to fight in the Second World War.